Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Aleph. We are holding 12 lines off the top of the Yomid, right at the two dots. Iboya Lehu. Here comes a question posed by the Bnei HaYeshiva. We learned yesterday about a concept called Oymed, evaluation. We appraise the weapon used in the murder incident to determine whether, in fact, this weapon was capable of putting this person to death. Otherwise, the murderer is exempt because this attack, right, did not necessarily cause his death. It wasn't of such severe nature to bring about that catastrophic result. And we learn this from the Pasuk that we have to make that appraisal, that evaluation, which we call Oymed, Umdina. Now the question is like this, Iboilu, Yesh Oymed Linezakin. What about injuries? Does this concept apply there as well? Well, we have to take a look at this, you know, stick and see, well, does this stick have the ability to inflict this type of injury? The same as we do by murder. Oyein Oymed Linezakin, perhaps it doesn't apply when it comes to injuries. Why the difference? When it comes to a murder case, yeah, there we need to evaluate. This type of attack can cause his death. But a different type of attack can't. In which case, the fellow is off the hook. But when it comes to hurting somebody, there's no point in evaluating and appraising and examining the item used in the incident, because as Rashi says, the zimnin the itzak bekoldu. Sometimes a person can get hurt even, you know, just by a little interacting with something very small and not too, you know, something that looks relatively innocent can cause harm and injury. So perhaps in most cases it won't, but you never know. In this case it did. So there's no point in appraising and evaluating the item used to inflict this wound. Or, yeah, we don't differentiate between Misa and Nezak. No, perhaps there's no difference between the two. Okay, so the question is, when there was an injury, do we actually go ahead and inspect the item used to inflict that injury? Or is he chayiv regardless? Tashmai comes a raya to this question. Ma bur, we have a Mishnah. Just as a bur, she'esh boi kidei lahom sasor tfachim, if it's 10 tefach deep, it's a real pit, it can cause death to a person, to an animal falling into the bur. Af koil, she'esh boi kidei lahom sasor tfachim, likewise, any sort of obstacle, any sort of, you know, pit of any shape, size, or form, if it's deep enough to kill, if it's 10 tefach in depth, the creator of that bur, of that obstacle, is liable. Okay? Now, if it was shallower than the 10 tefach depth required to kill, an animal falls into this shallow pit and dies, you're potter. You have no business dying in a shallow pit. Who is like by chayiv? But if he was injured, the owner of the bar is chayiv. The Gemara is assuming, my lab, let's assume, mimato lamalo kachashiv. The mission is sort of starting at the low number. If it's one tefach deep, two tefach, up until, and not including 10, right? V'achi kamar. And the mission means like this, mitefach v'adasara, from 1 until 10, and not including 10, misalek and azak and ikav. It can bring about death, but it could not bring about death. Misa leka. You're not expecting an animal to die in a shallow pit, but nezakanika, injury, yeah, that's expected. And even if it's just very shallow, just a little bump, one tefach deep, alma. Apparently, lenezakan kohodu shmami no, ain oimdin lenezakan. Apparently, when it comes to damages and injuries, even a little, you know, innocent-looking thing can trigger nezek. Shema mina ain oimdin lenezakim. So clearly, there's no point in evaluating the circumstances. Fact is, There was an injury, you have to pay. Loi, says the Gemara, not so. Mimala lamata kachash. Let's start the other way. From top down. Vachi ka'amar, and the Mishnah means like this. Ah, Sara, if it's 10 tafach in depth, miyisa'ika, then you can expect an animal to die in there, and you're chayiv, if in fact that happens. Pachas ma'asara porta, but a bit less than 10, not down to 1. 10 minus, you know, a little bit. It's still deep enough to actually cause injury. Pachas ma'asara porta, there we say nezak and isa misaleka, injury, yeah, death, no. But it has to be, you know, of some substantial depth. Right? For us to pin the blame on the owner of the pit. And therefore, certainly we have to go and evaluate and estimate if, in fact, this was the cause of the nezek. And in every situation, likewise, we have to evaluate. Is it fair to say that this stick caused, or is it just, you know, an overreaction on account of the victim? This is not to be attributed to the attack, right? Toshma, here comes another raya. He called Einoi Vesimoi. So this fellow struck another man on his eye, blinded him. Al Oznei V'chirsha on his ear and made him deaf. Eved Yetzib and Lachir. So if it happened to the Eved Kanani, which he owns, we know that if the owner knocks out his tooth or eye, or any of the other, you know, these permanent injuries, so the Eved goes free. Okay, the Pasuk actually speaks about the eye and the tooth. Shem v'ayim, but the Chachamim, back in Kedushin of Chafei, expanded it to any other, you know, type of permanent injury, which we call the Rashi Eivarim She'enem Chayshim. So bottom line is, he struck the Eved goes free. But that's only if he actually physically struck the Eved directly. But let's say he did it indirectly. Keneged Oznei V'Einei Shemeya. Sorry, Keneged Einei V'Einei Roya. Keneged Oznei V'Einei Shemeya. He took a big bat, hit the wall right near his eye, and the Eved got blinded. Whether it was the energy or the waves or the shock, whatever it is. He struck the wall very loudly and the Eved went deaf. Ein Eved Yoytze Ben Lechiris. The Eved doesn't get his ticket to freedom. My timer. So the question is, why not? What's the difference? Lav Mishum De Beinun Umdina. Oh, appraisal. Estimation. We have to actually determine that his act was the cause of his blindness, etc. In this case, we can't substantiate it. So clearly, Umdina applies. Even when it comes to injuries, we have to confirm that it was his act that actually triggered this injury. So that's like, no. Loi, that's not the reason why the Eved doesn't go free in this case. Here comes an interesting point. It's totally unrelated to the owner's striking on the wall. It's the shock. It's the Eved got so shaken that he got blinded. That was sort of his body's reaction. He became deaf. So that's totally unattributed to the attacker. It's totally self-imposed. Technically, of course, he caused it, but indirectly. Ultimately, the victim took it to heart, so to speak, and allowed himself to get shocked. Interesting point. And that ultimately brought his injury. Kedesanya, as we learned, Hamavis is Chavere. A person scares somebody. Pater medini Adam v'chay medini Shemaim. You know, here, down here in the Bezdin, we can't do anything about it, but Hashem keeps track. Keita, for instance, Toka ba'ozna v'chirshay. He yelled into this fellow's ear, made him deaf. Pater. There's no payment for such a thing. But achzay v'toka ba'ozna v'chirshay chay. If he took hold of his ear and he yelled into it, he made physical contact. That's a totally different thing. And here he's responsible for bringing about this deafness because it took on, you know, more of a physical, you know, property. In any case, we see this idea that unless it's actually an attack of a physical nature, Just yelling, sure, it triggered, it caused, but it's not a direct act, and therefore we sort of, in a way, attribute it to the victim, that he allowed himself to get, you know, shaken and scared and shocked. And we don't consider this to be a direct physical attack. And therefore, in the case of the master with the Eved doesn't go free. So it's not a question of evaluating and estimating whether this could have brought... Yeah, we know this triggered it, but ultimately, technically, it wasn't not a direct attack, wasn't a direct physical attack, and therefore he's put. Toshma. Chamisha dvorim oimdin oisoy v'noisn lemiyad. So we know that when there's an attack, there are five payments. Right? Nezek, tsar, ripui, right? Diminishing of market value, discomfort, pain, doctor bills, unemployment, embarrassment, right? So those five payments are based on an oimed, bezdin sits down and evaluates, you know, the exact amount per payment. V'noisn lemiyad, and that's paid right away. It's not paid in installments, he pays it off right away. Ripui v'sheves, so let's say when it comes to doctor bills or unemployment, once again, achi yisrapi, they evaluate, okay, it's going to take X amount to get him better, he's going to lose X amount of weeks of work, that amount is paid off right away. Now, let's say umdu v'yivisnavna v'hoylech, let's say they determined 2 week off from work, and he's going to pay him off that amount, and then his situation deteriorated, and he needs an extra week off from work. Ein noisn loy ela kamosh amdu. Halacha is, he doesn't get more than 2 weeks worth of his unemployment, even though it was prolonged, but the attacker is only responsible as per Bezdin's determination. Now, amdu v'hivri, go the other way. He was expected to take off 2 weeks, and after a week, he's up and running, he's back to work. Noisn loy kamosh amdu. He gets the full 2 week unemployment payout. Why? It says Rashi. Dimi shamaya rechim olay. Hashem had rachmonos on him. Hashem expedited his recovery. The attacker gets no credit for that. So he sticks with the same amount. Bottom line, the Brisa speaks about amdu, evaluations, estimations. Shema min oyesh oimed nezaken. Clearly, even when it comes to injuries, we do evaluations. Says Gemara, no. It's unrelated to our previous discussion. Because here we're speaking, lemeimad gavra, to evaluate in terms of the victim, kama lekatzer mehamaka, how ill, how long is he going to be sick? How is he going to be affected due to this attack? Kama loy mekatzer. How much not? Meaning how long, how short, how quick is he going to recover? Why can we boilan? There's no question. Devadi amdina, of course, that has to be determined. Ki kame boilan, our question was regarding the weapon used, the stick, right? Lemeivat chavtza, the item used in the attack. Do we have to sit down and, you know, inspect it and examine it? Whether the injury is, you know, is justified based on the weapon used, yavad hainisko, whether this thing can inflict this damage or not. That was our question. And that we haven't really determined. So the question still stands. Tashmai comes a raya. Shimna timni aimer, this was yesterday. Ma egrif, miyuchat shemasr le'edel edem. So the pasuk there speaks about an injury, and it could have happened through an egrif, a fist, or a stone. And Shimna timni says, look, let's equate the two things, just like a fist can be. Taking a look at, Bezdin could look at it, the Eda, the Sanhedrin, the Edom, who witnessed the attack and evaluate and see whether, in fact, this fist was worthy of this injury, of inflicting this injury. Likewise, any weapon used must have that same ability to be examined and scrutinized by the Sanhedrin and the Edom. Shema, clearly, we see from here, Yesh, Oymed, Lenezokit, even when it comes to injuries, we have to make that inspection, Shema, Mino. Omar, let's go back to the price. So we learned, Amdu v'ivri, he was meant to be lay put for 2 weeks, and he recovered quicker, he's back to work, he's entitled to the full payout, a full 2 weeks. Because Hashem had rachmonas on him, but he doesn't lose out. Misayele, the Rav is right. Rav told us a similar halacha, the Rav, Haiman do Amdu l'kuli yayma. His victim was expected to be put out for the day, V'itpach l'palga d'yayma. Midday, he's up and running again. V'kavad avinta, he's back to work. Does he get the full day unemployment or not? Yavinale de Kuliyom, he gets the full day's unemployment. Why? Min Shemaya from Hashem, who derachmi alei, they had rachmonas on him. It's his mazel, and he's entitled to the full payout. Now Mishnah says, Rokak vigia by heroic vihever, so he spit at a person, he embarrassed him, Boisha's payout is in place. Amar Papa, that's only Lashanu Ella boy, if it actually reached the person, Ava Babigdoi. But if the spittle hit just the beggar of the victim, Lloyd, there's no Baisha's payout. It's not severe enough to trigger the Baisha's payment. Lloyd? Why? It says more, why? Why is it, you know, any worse than, or any better than verbal embarrassment? I mean, embarrassment is embarrassment. Amri Marava. So they said it's a show, Mishmeid Rabbi Yisrael Rabin. So we learn from this Mishnah. Although everything is embarrassing, but there are different levels. And Boisha's payout is only if it takes on a physical form. If you just verbally embarrassed him, there's no payout. And the Mepharshim explained, because the Pasuk, in discussing Boisha's, clearly depicts a situation where there was physical contact. So only that would trigger the Boisha's payout. Everything else, not very nice, but there's no payment involved. So the Tanakhama says, well, you know, Baishas has to be determined based on this individual's prominence and standing in the community. So questions like this. Iboilu, Tanakhama l'kuluk amar or l'chumruk amar? Was the Tanakhama telling us that this amount discussed in the Mishnah, we discussed the amount of 400 zuz, right? Is only for a, you know, upstanding individual who really, you know, takes it to heart, but just a plain, simple yid, a regular, ordinary community member, he won't be entitled to such a large payout. L'kula kamar. Or the chumra kamar. Or perhaps the other way. 400 is standard. If you're really chashiv, you get more. And the more explains, l'kula kamar, perhaps, he meant l'kula, the ika ani, the lay boy, the mishkal kulihai. Poor man, doesn't get fazed by this type of onslaught. He doesn't get too embarrassed when, so he's not going to get that full 400 payout. The leboy the mishkal kulihai. I dimul chumra kama, or perhaps the other way around. The chumra, the ika asher, the boy the mesa leitvei. Everybody is entitled to the basic payout of 400. An asher, a wealthy man who really takes it to heart, really super sensitive to public perception, he's going to get more than that. To ashmai comes it right. Because remember, Rabbi Akiva responded. Rabbi Akiva responded, I feel an image of Yisrael, you should know anybody, even a most impoverished person amongst Yisrael, he's entitled to the full payout. He has a big yichus. He comes from the Abbas. They're entitled to the full payout. They're as sensitive as, for example, a wealthy person, who was wealthy, who lost all his money. He still has that, you know, inner pride, and, you know, he's susceptible to shame and embarrassment, almost as though he's still wealthy, right? So every yid is just as vulnerable and has to be viewed in the same light as a person who was once wealthy. So even a poor man still has that inner pride and that feeling of innate value. Why? Because of our DNA. Shehem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Look at our Zaydis. So, Shema Mino, Tanakama l'kulu kama Shema Mino. So clearly, Rabbi Akiva was responding, right? Tanakama apparently was saying, look, 400 is for a real important man, but, you know, regular pusha to yid doesn't get that much. On that, Rabbi Akiva responds and says, no, we're all equal. All yidim were created equal and deserve the same amount of Baisha's payout due to their innate value. Shem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. U'ma'asa b'echad shabar reisha isha b'chulu. So his fellow embarrassed the woman. He was obligated to pay, and he asked Rabbi Akiva for some time. And he gave him some time. Really? We extend this payout period? U'mi yavinan zman. Since when do we allow a delay in this payment. We never delay when it comes to payouts with respect to chavales injuries. Answers the Gemara, that's only true when there was loss of value. There was an actual physical injury. There we trigger payment right away. When it comes to embarrassment, which is just emotional, it's not an actual loss of value, that takes on a degree of leniency, and we allow for, you know, sort of a delay if necessary. So this fellow kept an eye on the Isha and found her standing on the other street and took the opportunity to stage this whole thing with the oil and to prove that she's not, she doesn't necessarily, you know, maintain a high level of dignity. Okay, so Rav Akiva says, no, who cares? What she does to herself is her business. Okay? So even though a person is not allowed to, Mishnah says, even though a person is not allowed to be chayvel ba'atzmai, inflict self-injuries, but that's his business. So even if he does it to himself, but if you do it, you're chayv. Okay? So that's the Gemara, but in the Braisa, Rabbi Kibbe used different language, which indicates that a person may injure himself. Taking a real deep, you know, scuba dive in deep water, expecting some sort of treasure discovery, and you end up with just a little piece of pottery. Basically, all your efforts didn't really hold water, didn't really produce. Because a person is allowed to inflict self-injury, but you can't do it to him. So she embarrassed herself, that's her business, but you still can't in your chayiv. So here he's saying that a person may harm himself. In the Mishnah he says, a person may not. How does that work? Amar Rav Kasha, depends what? Physical or emotional. Kamba chavala, physical injury is usher to self-inflict. But kamba baishas, when it comes to embarrassment, the person can do that. In fact, it's a big kapara. The Svarim say the biggest atonement is getting embarrassed. It doesn't cost you money, it doesn't cost you health, it doesn't take your time, right? So big tzaddikim looked for opportunities to, you know, bring about boishes on themselves. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? But the Mishnah is speaking about boishes, and still he says you can't. And it says you can't. We're speaking about boishes. That was the context at hand, right? Embarrassments. And she embarrassed herself, and Rav Akiva says it's okay. A person's not allowed to do that. Even boishes you can't self-inflict. No, he meant like this. You have to sort of reread the Mishnah. Needless to say, that in terms of self-embarrassment, which a person can bring about, still, if you do it to them, they can do it to themselves, but you can't do it to them in your chayv. El afilu chavala. So that's pashat. El afilu chavala. The chiddush is even when it comes to physical, self-imposed physical injuries, where a person is not allowed to do that to himself. They know the Rashi lechavah ba'atzmei, right? That you can't do. And the person still is careless and does self-inflict injuries. So perhaps you think, okay, so then, you know, he's a careless person and, you know, you're allowed to attack him as well. Achirim, but still, achirim shechavah b'chayav, and if others do it to him, they have to pay. So that's how we learn the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, why not? Ve'inotam rashay lachavel ba'atzmai, a person not allowed to self-inflict injuries, v'atan you have a braisa, yochel nishba lahara ba'atzmai, v'lo yahara yehi potter. Perhaps if a person makes a shavua, an oath that he's going to harm himself, do something bad, and he did not follow through, you think he's potter, he's absolved from the consequences, tamalayim lahara la'ativ. The pasuk clearly packages it as one. The halacha of shvua and the consequences that come as a result of ignoring the shvua applies to good and bad stuff. So just like the on the good side, the positive side is something that you're allowed to do, likewise on the negative side is something you're allowed to do, and it includes avi, it includes nishba lahara ba'atzma leheira, If he promised to do something bad to himself and he didn't follow through, he has to pay the consequence. Clearly, a person is allowed to self-inflict. Amar Shmuel, hold it. We're not talking about injuries. Be'eshev betanis. He committed himself to a fast, to abstain from food. And that's something you can do. It's not an outright injury. And that's what the Bryce is speaking about. But injury, you can't do that. Says the Gemara, okay. If we're speaking about fasting, let's go to the other part of the Bryce there. With respect to other people. Right? You promise to do this to other people. The Kavasoga by Ras Acher. Likewise, in terms of doing it to other people, how can you do something bad to the next person? So again, we're speaking about having them fast. Loshiva matanis. How could you have another person? How could you force another person to fast? It's not in your hands. Acherim mimoisulu batanis. So what do you mean? I'm going to make the other person fast? Yeah. The mahadak lubedrunya. He locked him up in a small room. So that's what he committed to doing. So it's possible to do ra to another person in this manner. Says the Mubat Tanya. But the Brisa clearly describes this fellow as having more violent plans. Ezo aras acher. What's an example of doing bad to others? Aker ploini v'eftes meich. I'm going to hit him and break open his brain, meich, his head, his brain. So clearly we speak of physical attacks. And when it relates to himself, it's also self-physical, self-infliction of wounds. And the Brisa indicates that you can do that. Rishus, it's in his hands. Says him what you're right. Machleg is tanoim. Ela tanoi. Dikel man domer. Ein adam rashai l'chava ba'atzmoi. One shita says, one may not self-injure. Yikel man domer. Adam rashai l'chava ba'atzmoi. Other one disagrees. You can do it. Man tana d'shamas le domer. Ein adam rashai l'chava ba'atzmoi. Who's the shita? That one may not do so. Ilem hai tano d'sani. Is it the following tanya of the following brisa? Based on a pasuk. V'aches dimchem l'arshe sechem edrosh. I'm going to be doyrish, I'm going to hold you accountable for your dam, for your blood. What's that going on? It's going on a person, chas v'shalom, taking his life, and Hashem says, no, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to go to the nefesh and hold you accountable for your dam. So clearly, a person cannot self-inflict. Well, maybe that's talking about death, of course, that you can't do. But who says an injury is treated the same way? Ela haitano desani, it's the following shita. Mekarin al hameis. Lo'eleinu, when a relative dies, we do kriya, we tear our beged. V'lo'i medar ki emayri. No concern of following the ways of the goyim, even though they do it. We do it based on our minhag, and our halacha, and our Torah. Amar b'lazer, but there's a limit. Shamati, I heard, shamakareya al hameis. Yo'isu medar loik. A person overdoes it, he gets malchus. Why? Why Malchus? Mishum Baal Tashchus. One is not allowed to destroy for no good reason. So clearly, self-destruction is asur. Well, says the Gemara, once again, there's distinction. And the Gemara is assuming you can't tear a beged, certainly you can't tear your body. Well, says the Gemara, who says, maybe a beged is worse, because it can't doesn't recover, doesn't heal. It's a loss which is permanent. But one's goof, small injury, maybe it's going to heal, it's okay. Kihad Rabbi Yechon, we see Rabbi Yechon treated his begadim with utmost respect. Kari Lamani, he would relate to his begadim, to his garments, he would call them mechabdusa. They give me honor. They cover me, they highlight the fact that my neshama is what I identify with, not my guf, which is just covered, which is just secondary. And we have another story, Rav Chizda, Kad Hava Maski, Ben Hiz Mevihiga, when he would walk amongst the thorns and was concerned that they would tear his beged, Madli Lulamani, he would lift up his robe, Omar, and he would explain, why am I exposing my skin to the thorns? Zemala Rucha, skin, is going to heal. It's going to get a scab, it's going to heal. But my begotten will remain torn. So clearly they cared more in a way for their beggar than getting a scratch. So I understand that a person is not a tear is begadah, but who says it applies to a goof? We have another brayso. And clearly a person must protect his goof as well. Umra Belezer Akapa Baribi. The great Belezer Akapa explained like this. This is regarding a nazir who committed to refrain from wine, right? And the pasuk relates to him as a sinner. He has to bring a carbon to atone for his... What do you mean? What did he do wrong? He killed somebody. What kind of nefesh was he chayte with? Refraining from wine, depriving oneself, is called a chayt. And we can learn from a kavachomer. Look, even just this person who simply refrained from just one thing, wine, we give him a label as a chayte. Hashem created the world to enjoy, not to deprive. Certainly a person sits and fasts and injures himself. Of course, it's not okay. Hakoytis and tiyos. Tani Rabba Baruchana committed Rav. So Rabba Chana presented the aloha of the Tzabraisa in front of Rav as follows. Shoyu Hirakta. Reuben approaches Shimon. Why'd you kill my ox? The tiyos kitzatzta. Why'd you chop off my young plantations? Well, ato amati larga. Shimon responds, you told me to kill the animal. Ato amati lukaita. You told me to trim your plants. Does he have to pay? No, potter. That was the halacha. So Rav, upon hearing this, exclaimed in surprise. I mean, if that's the case, then it's just a free-for-all. Anybody can say, well, you told me. Amaleim kain, if that's the case, leshafkes chay lebriyasa. Literally means you haven't allow people to live, meaning there's no way to conduct, no way to have a properly functioning society. If anybody can just come and claim, well, you're to blame for my kol kamini. Since when does a person have a right to put forth such a claim? Amale, so Rav Rachana responded, okay, smayish, I just delete the braisa, it's incorrect. Amale, he says, no, lie. I have a way out. To target masnisach, there's one way you can sort of explain your braisa. How does it make sense? How can the person absolve himself and get off the hook by claiming that it was meant to be that b'shoyr ha'emer lahariga u'b'ilu na'emer l'ktsitsa? You have an ox which is slated for death. He killed people. He's a dangerous animal. He's about to be put to death. Or a tree which is avei dezora, let's say, and it's got to be chopped off. So in that case, the fellow can say, look, you told me to do it. If that's the story, my katoin lays. What's the other person claiming? I mean, he had a full right to the amalei ana beina lemevet hamitzvah, because he can say, look, I understand that the animal was meant to be killed and all that, but I, the owner of the animal, wanted to do the mitzvah. Why'd you grab the mitzvah from me? I never told you to do, right? The sanya v'shafaf hakisa, right? So he says, look, why'd you kill the animal? He's like, he says he told him to. Okay, he says fine. Right, so he's potter. But really, he wanted to do the mitzvah. The sani b'shavach hakisa, this is by kisi hadam, so you shech the animal, and you cover the blood. We learn from here, it's the same person. Misha shavach hichasa, the sheikha does the kisa. It's part of his mitzvah. So it happens that one time, Reuben shecht, and Shimon grabbed the dam and covered it. He grabbed away the mitzvah. V'chiva Rav Gamliel? So Rav Gamliel got involved and says, you took away the mitzvah? He obligated him to pay, imposed on him a fine, literally, asorazum, 10 coins. So that was his argument. He says, why did you take away my mitzvah? But, of course, ordinarily you can't claim. It's only in this case where the animal is meant to be put to death, so you can say, look, I did your service, whether it was right or wrong, but I'm not chayef for the actual, but typically you can't just approach the other person's animal, kill it, and say, well, you told me to. It doesn't work. Amar Rav, on the topic of Baal Tashchis, so we have like this. Dikla, if a palm tree, not meant to cut off a palm tree unnecessarily, right? The Ton Kava, which has at least a kav, a certain amount of fruit on it, also the mix to say it cannot be chopped down because it's a fruit producing tree. Mesve, here comes a kasha, even less than a kav. Kamehe bezayis like loy yikatzitzoy. You have an olive tree. How much is growing on there which would prevent destruction? Reva. Even a quarter of a kav. Once it's growing that much, you can't chop it down? Shani zeisim dechashivi. Oh, that's because of the prominence involved in olives, chashev, fruit, and therefore even a smaller amount prevents chopping. But otherwise, an ordinary fruit tree, until it gets the kav, it's not considered a proper fruit-producing tree. Amar b'chanina leishachiv. Look how careful one must be to maintain his fruit trees. Leishachiv shivchas bri. If Chanina had a son shivchas, and the only reason why he died, ela lekatz teinasab leizimra, because he chopped off a fig tree. He wrongly chopped off a fig tree while it was still, you know, producing its fruit. Amar Ravina, emayu mulu b'damim mutar. There's one exception. Suppose the the value of the actual wood of that fruit tree can generate greater income, greater value than the actual fruit, then mutar, one may chop the tree. Tanya mihachi, the same in a braisa. This point that you may chop the tree if it's needed for its wood value. Rak eitz asher teda. So the pasuk speaking where Klal Yisrael is at war, they need wood supplies to build up their ramparts and their, for the war effort. So the pasuk says rak eitz asher teda. What does asher teda mean? If there's no other tree close by, even ze'ilon machal, even if it's a fruit tree, you can chop it for your war effort. Kilo eitz machal hu. Next part of the pasuk, it's not a fruit tree. Ze'ilon strak, a non-fruit tree can be cut as well. Now, v'chemi achas she'soifel rabbis kol davar. Once we allow you to chop even a fruit tree, mal tamalemek kilo eitz machal. So why does the pasuk relate to a non-fruit tree? Sounding like that's the one to access. Yeah, to prioritize things. L'haktim strak lo machal. Given the option, you should take the non-fruit tree before you resort to chopping of a fruit tree. But perhaps this system applies even when the wood value of the fruit tree exceeds its fruit. Tamalim rak, the pasuk adds the word rak. It doesn't apply in all situations, as we explained. We have two stories to support this point. Shmuel, I see le'arises. He had this sharecropper. One day he brings Shmuel the boss, Tamri, some dates from his orchard. Achol. Shmuel started eating. Tambu, Tama de Chamra. He discerned a grape flavor, a wine flavor in the dates. Amale my hai. So he turns to his worker. What's this flavor about? Amale beni gufni kaimu. Because don't you know the palm trees are situated right between the vines? And hence, the wine flavor that permeated the dates. Amar. Shmuel responds, "Makhashi b'chamri kulihai." So you mean that the palm trees are sort of nourishing and sucking from the grapes and the vines? It means they're weakening the grapes. L'machar aisi l'mikurayu. I don't want them there anymore. They're causing more damage than gain. So their presence is detrimental. So detrimental to the vines, and therefore I'm justified in actually chopping off those palm trees. This is in support of this halacha that in some cases one may chop this fruit tree. Rav Chisda Chaza Tali Ben Gufni. Another story was Rav Chisda notices young palm trees growing between his vines. Amar Larise turns to his sharecropper. Akrino, pull them out. I don't want the palms. They're at the expense of the vines. Gufni Kani Dikli. You can sell a wine, the product of the Geffen, and purchase lands in which you can grow the palm trees. But dikli lo kanu gufni, you can't do the other way around. You can't sell palm trees and buy vineyard. Basically, vines and all that is much more valuable and expensive than the palm trees. And therefore, I don't want the palm trees there at the expense of interfere with the growth process of the vines, and therefore you can get rid of them. Okay, so to summarize, we discussed Oymed Lemisa, yes, Oymed Lenezakin, we've proved there, it applies as well. We evaluate, we determine whether this weapon actually was worthy of bringing about this injury, in which case we trigger all the payments, and even if he had early recovery, still is entitled to a full payout. That's his mazel, Menashamayim. Boishes is as per a person's vulnerability and susceptibility to shame and embarrassment. That's according to Tanakhama, according to Rabbi Kiva. It's a standard fee for all Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You get the highest payout. One can bring about boishes upon himself when it comes to chavolos. The Brisa says over here that according to Rabbi Kapper, it's aser, it's called a chayta. Certainly, Chas v'Shalom, self-katala, self-murder, and destruction of clothing or other aspects of one's property. We discussed specifically maintaining fruit trees, and we have an exception of Mu'ula B'damim, which case it's mutter, as per these two stories. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.